Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I'm joined this morning by my favorite female experienced journalist and trainer of journalists to talk about a subject that I've been quite keen to raise, and that is the feminization of culture, and culture implying both politics and the non-governmental world, and basically areas where women can be influential over our aspects of our society. And she wrote an article arising from her concerns about the feminization of culture from a podcast she had listened to. Patty Clay, welcome again to Chai FM, but welcome to the Sargon Rogue Show. And please give us some idea as to what it is that sort of raised questions for you about the feminization of culture. It obviously it's particularly pertinent to America and the West, but it does raise issues about elements of the same culture in arising in South Africa.
Yes. Good morning to you. Another rogue joins you.
Thank you.
I wrote an article a while back, which was based on something the Financial Times had printed, which was about the Asian young women move to the left. Mm-hmm. So you've mentioned now sort of, you know, South Africa and Western democracies, but in Asia, they're also finding young women voting to the left because many of them are feeling there is a more they want another approach. And so I've kind of been watching where women are going in politics and what it's meant with women having freedom, as we feminists were fighting for it for me back in the 70s, and feeling we needed to really push a little bit, if not quite a lot, to get some treatment and be able to go where we want to go. I think there was a song along those lines. Listening to Helen Andrews' speech, in fact, it was her address at the National Conservatives, to the National Conservatism organization. And I was interested because a lot of what she said was true. I mean, women have made huge inroads into things, especially in America, into organizations, into politics in America, the politics here, politics in the UK. And is there a risk that we will get lopsided again as we were before? And I think that's really the gist of it. I was feeling we wanted to be equal. Are we now not tilting the scale? And she felt that it was time to take the finger off the scale.
Okay. I mean, I think the success...
Or the thumb. The masculine thumb.
I think this is largely can be seen in the election of Zoran Mandani to the position of New York mayor, because 84% of women between the ages of 18 to 29 voted for him, and 65% of women aged 30 to 45, we could argue should know better, supported him, and he's appointed an all-female mayoral transition team. Now, there you'd see very much the attraction of the sort of socialist idea of free buses in New York and state-owned, theoretically cheaper grocery stores, and it's that very sort of move to the sort of softer, more concerned aspect of politics that raises the question, because neither of those ideal sort of provision of services is likely to come without a significant cost, and there's no indication that those costs have been calculated, and that seems to be part of what's the concern about the feminization. Is it goes for the concerns and the feelings towards the betterment of society without looking at the limitations and some of the harsh realities.
Yes, I think that's it. You know, you lean too far one way. You're gushing and wanting to save the world and have everybody together and you know, uplift the poor, all sort of great aims and goals. But you also have to do the calculations. How do you do it? How much will it cost? Can it be done? And should it be done in some instances? Should we be falling over ourselves to help other people if we regard other people as individuals with their own agency, as the modern parlance would have it? Mm. So I do think we need to look at this desire to kind of make other people's lives better, even really without consulting with them sometimes, you know, because you have this over... It leads to a kind of feeling of knowing better than other people, which as a liberal I find quite disturbing. I also think in business, they've been preaching for so long that we need to have diversity in business and we need to hear all people talking. So how come we've been shutting out a lot of men in discussions about what are they? Women areas of the arts and culture and NGOs and charitable work, is that not a male area as well? Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's just, can we find a balance between the wonderful qualities men have and the wonderful qualities women have? Mm-hmm. And say they need each other because those qualities kind of taming each side and preventing it from going into excess or extreme. If you just want to have free buses and you don't know how to do it, or you're not working on a system that will change the way we transport people, then, you know, it's pie in the sky and it's not achievable.
Well, my concern there is also whether it's a good idea to make free stuff available and for people not to sort of pay for the services they get because of the sort of empathy of the commute and all of those aspects of people's lives that sort of need to be made easier. But surely it involves a case of educating women, getting better education, getting access rather to what they can, how they can empower themselves. Because what strikes me as this empathy element is that it tends to see the people that it's most concerned about as victims rather than as people with agency who need to lead their own lives and develop their own futures.
Yes, and I do wonder if the generation of women that we, and when I say we, I mean boomers, have brought up are a little too spoiled.
Yeah.
and then kind of, they either have a guilt on that, and so they want to help others, admirable as it is, and they want to do it, and I don't know. Is there something we did wrong? Also, was a question as boomers. Did we? I didn't, you know, go into it. But I do wonder why these young women who are the children of boomers or just about, you know, descendants of boomers, have turned so very concerned to uplift others. Maybe they feel they don't need upliftment anymore and they must uplift others. They must find a victim. They were the, you know, their parents were the victim. Now they must find new victims. I don't know quite what impels us, but I do despair. I do think young women who don't want to have children, young women who, you know, kind of when they don't succeed, and this is a point Helen Andrews made in something else that I listened to of hers, that she felt, and this was entirely subjective, I suppose, she didn't really cite much sort of scientific evidence or polls for this, was that young women going into STEM careers, you know, and battling as programmers and things in technology or whatever, or even making inroads there, didn't like the environment very much. And they become quite politicized against people, and then rather turn their talents to politicizing the fact that they're not being treated equally. And I wonder, well, is there some truth? Or, you know, a lot of women don't have the ability to get into that kind of technical thing, or don't want to have the desire. And yet there becomes a sort of resentment builds up when they're in areas where they maybe are not comfortable. And it's not their thing. And then they have to find another thing to make it good for them.
Well, I mean, women seem to have progressed considerably, tending now to be in the majority in the university environment in areas like law, medical school, academia, and some of the sciences. But they still are the minority in I suppose what you'd call the hard sciences of areas like engineering and that. And I think essentially what you're looking for is equality of respect and the ability to tackle discrimination if you find it, because there will always be these discrepancies based on, God forbid, and I hate to mention it, biology.
Oh, yes, you were going to mention it. Thank you.
The B word.
Yeah. But, you know, women are women and they can't be anything else. And that may mean some physical limitations in some areas and some physical abilities in others. They can dance better. No, that's a generalization. But I really think, you know, we shy away. Yes, we do. Let's just admit, we do have physical things. There's some women who are stronger. And there are some women who can do things, but they are not the general number. Perhaps you have to look at that. And why can't we just accept that that is why we need to work together? We want to work together with everybody else. It seems, you know, the younger generation wants to work together with everybody else. But they need to work together with, you know, guys who were supposed to be their first partners in a way. And I'm not an old-fashioned, everybody must get married and have babies.
Right.
But I do think it is a fairly natural order of things that you can follow. And if you choose not to follow it, that is fine as well. But that is usually going to make you somewhat of a minority. And that should be fine. You should be respected in that different area. But I just fear this total suicidal empathy that we have could really damage society in a way. Well, it's the same. Toxic masculinity damages it.
Yeah. Well, it's basically both the minority influences coming into what I would call the majority environment, both affecting it and tempering it, or either way, whichever way, wherever the dominant side is felt, but also learning to adjust. I mean, we both grew up in probably environments that were largely male dominated, and it's the adjustment, it's partly the adjustment and getting to understand what you're dealing with that makes you capable of progressing, in fact, making an environment more amenable to women. But one of my concerns arises, and she talks about feminization largely being reflected in wokeness. And, you know, we've talked about empathy, we've talked about looking at safety, providing safety over allowing people to take risk, and conformity and cohesion over competition. Now, as a consequence, what poll findings are doing is finding that women, you know, particularly women who are progressing through the sort of areas of power in society, are less in favor of free speech. Yes. They want a more, they're pursuing a more inclusive society, but they want more in favor of free, they're less in favor of free speech, and they tend to be more accepting of forms of immigration, even if they're immigration, including and particularly illegal immigration. And it's this that doesn't take account for the whole lot of complexities and nuances and, you know,
yes,
issues that have to be accounted for a society to run effectively.
Yes, it's almost as if it's a kind of short-term thinking sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, is it lacking in strategy? Are we lacking in strategy? I don't know, dude. You know, clearly they've done tests which show we have higher rates of cognitive empathy and things like that. They don't talk very much about what we're lacking as women.
Mm.
So, you know, maybe we have some little 0.0003 something less than men in making a strategic decision. So let's use that strategic thinking in planning what does immigration mean for one.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all nice to gather up the puppy at the side of the road because it's been abandoned. But, you know, what if your children are allergic to it?
Mm.
You know, to bring it down to a very simple level, this kind of wanting to save the world in one way but not wanting to consult with other people, especially of the male persuasion, seems to me a kind of recipe for impending disaster. Everything should be a consultation in a way.
Yeah.
And it's all very well to decide things alone in the room or take the decisions as a group of females, but maybe you want to check it against somebody else, just as you would say, you know, the diverse woke element would say, we have to consult all cultures. We have to bend to all cultures.
Yeah. Well, perhaps I just want to give one current example in the non-governmental organization, NGO sector in South Africa, where the National Education and Training Manager, the Black Sash, has been part of a campaign to have the Kifness, who's a very well-known, very successful musician, removed from a Western Cape government, a concert at Kirstenbosch at the end of the month because of his views he's expressed on Imtiaz Suleiman, the chairman of Gift of the Givers, and he's expressed comments about, you know, really what, you know, where does he stand? We know he's very pro-Palestine and anti-Israel, but there's a very strong, there have been accusations elsewhere, not and along the same lines of the fact that he has a relationship with Hamas or people related to Hamas that is less than admirable, and this lady is amongst those pressing for his removal from the bill. Now, here you really are, you know, interfering with literally freedom of expression and the right to be heard, because the views expressed are not yours. This, to me, is the prime example of one of the areas of potential problems, of potential move away from liberalism.
Yes, I mean, you know, when I mentioned the spoiled, I just this links to this because I've had some run-ins with this young woman from Black Sash for some time because I am very angry that she is a communicator and trainer for the Black Sash,
mm-hmm.
and is allowed to put her personal views as regards Palestine across,
mm-hmm.
under the, when everyone knows who she is for the Black Sash.
Mm.
And she doesn't really draw a distinction between her personal life and her beliefs.
Mm.
And so for me, that's always been problematic. And I had great difficulty, I must say, reining in young people and saying, when you're a journalist, for instance, you should not be completely giving away your opinions to everybody. They should be fairly murky and people unable quite to assess where you're coming from.
Mm.
And especially if your organization isn't talking on that particular subject. So it has always worried me that, and people seem resistant. They want free expression when it comes to their social media, and then they want to close down other talks.
I think we could probably sum it up as the concern about suicidal empathy of feminization. But Patty, I have to cut it there. Thank you very much for joining me, just to have a little riff, a little in a different direction for a change. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.